Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Adam O'Meara as my special expert guest. Adam O'Meara is an elite level triathlete who has completed over 15 Ironman triathlons and has multiple top 10 finishes with the better part of a decade left in his professional career. His goal is clear: to win Ironman distance triathlons. Adam is a certified sports nutrition advisor and plans to begin his CSNA master's degree studies in late 2015. He works in the natural health product industry as a territory representative for Purica. Adam also offers nutrition advising services to active people and athletes who wish to improve performance and long-term health. In his spare time, he enjoys nothing more than spending time with his son hiking in the woods, playing soccer in the backyard, and making power smoothies at any time of the day. Good morning, Adam, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Good morning, Corey. Thanks very much for having me.
It's great to have you on the line. It's great to have met you fairly recently, to be working and connected with Purica. And right away, when our eyes met, I could see that you were a dedicated athlete, very committed to your performance and everything that goes into that. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about your career as a professional triathlete. And tell us how you got into that and what attracts you to that particular sport.
Sure, Corey, and I just want to say that when I first met you, I felt the same. I could clearly see that you were very passionate about health and wellness, and so we had a great connection right away. So yeah, triathlon, I started running late in my high school years, and I realized that although I was quite a bit heavier then than I was now, I had a bit of an engine for running, and then I went traveling, and I actually did a triathlon overseas in Australia, and I completed that triathlon, and it was obviously very uncomfortable and a painful experience, but I'll never forget that finish line and the people that were cheering me on as I was 200th back, you know, from the front of the race or something, and they were just cheering me on. It was just this great atmosphere. And then quickly, I'll give a background. I did a couple more races when I got back to Canada. I did a half Ironman in Osoyoos in the interior of on the Okanagan of BC, and then I qualified to do an Ironman in Penticton. And I jumped right in and did that. And once I had done that, the Ironman and that 10-hour journey that day, I knew that I'd found something that was quite special and that I could connect with, sort of apply my lifestyle to. So my appendix ruptured in 2007, and I had dreams all the time about triathlon while I was recovering from that ruptured appendix for 10 weeks. I couldn't do anything. And so one day I woke up and I called my mom and I said, I'm going to move to Victoria and I'm going to pursue this triathlon career once I, you know, I can get out of bed. So just, yeah, the competition, the puzzle that triathlon is, the challenge on a day-to-day basis, the puzzle of putting it all together, which of course nutrition is a massive part of. Firmly believe that I will last a long time in this sport, largely in part because I have a meticulous attention to my nutrition and my diet. So it's the whole lifestyle and the challenge of training every day and competition. When races get close, I sort of morph into a bit of a different human. It's quite exciting to even think about right now that I get to race in the next few weeks. Yeah.
Well, how would you respond to the criticism, Adam, that an Ironman triathlon is caustic, it's catabolic, it's ruinous to your body? You know, from people that maybe have never competed in one or look at it and then compare the length of the athletic activity to 100-meter sprint or other sports that are over in 3 20-minute periods or whatever. Do you think that you have to, by design, be a certain kind of body type, or is it only for some people? Or what is your response to that kind of criticism?
I guess my first thought is, for me, quality over quantity of life. You know, I don't want to go through my life wishing, oh, geez, I really like that Ironman thing, but, you know, I decided not to do it because, you know, everyone said that it wasn't good for my health. I want to pursue my passion, which is triathlon. Having said that, I do think that there is a very large population of the athletes that do long-distance triathlon especially that are in a constant state of overreaching and bordering on overtraining, and a lot of them probably have overtraining syndrome, you know, even by the true definition of it, and then they are doing damage to the body because people can be so driven. I'd like to say that I'm not like that, but for many, many years I was like that, and I inflicted some health issues on myself, gastrointestinal issues, other things that were caused by overtraining and also consuming too many refined carbohydrates at the same time. So like everything, I think there's a bad way to do it, a good way to do it, and a great way to do it. And I'd like to think that after 10 years in the sport, I have a pretty good handle for myself, for my body and my body type, and, you know, of how to train properly and how to still be pleasant to be around. You know, when people constantly are overtrained, they can be not the most fun to be around. So I think it's a legitimate statement by people to say that it can be detrimental to health, but nutrition, again, comes right back to how important that is, keep your body in a healthful state while competing.
Now, for those who are not intimately familiar with the sport itself, maybe you can give us some details about the sport itself, like running an Ironman. What kind of distance are we talking about, and what is the sequence of events, and how does it start and finish?
Yeah, it's quite a long journey for the day. The best of the best will, on some courses, complete it in 8 hours, and that's the elite level and professional division. And then a lot of the amateurs will take anywhere from 10, 12, 14, up to 17 hours to complete it. That's sort of the cutoff is 17 hours. But it starts with a 3.8-kilometer swim or 2.4 miles. Once you get out of the water, that could be fresh water. It could be with a wetsuit. It could be without a wetsuit. My next race is going to be without a wetsuit, and it's going to be a downriver swim, actually. So it's going to be a little bit quicker, kind of fun. And then after you're done your swim, you get into your transition zone where your bike's ready to go, and off you go for 180-kilometer or 112-mile bike ride. Again, that's really dependent on the course of how long that can take. For instance, this race that's coming up in Tennessee, Chattanooga, Tennessee, that I'm doing, it's a very rolling terrain, sort of relentlessly just kind of rolling terrain with some headwinds and tailwinds. You know, a lot of the guys last year that are sort of in my bracket will do that in about 4.5 hours to 4 hours and 40 minutes, that 180 kilometers, whereas it can take, you know, some of the amateurs up to 6, 7, 8 hours to do that. Once you're done your bike ride, though, you get out onto the run course, which is a marathon, so that's 42.2 kilometers or 26.2 miles. Throughout the race, it becomes a mental game as well, but yeah, it's quite a long journey, so that's what the race day entails. Some people would say that the training's harder than the race day, but I tend to think that the race day is typically harder than the training because you want to prepare yourself through training to be able to peak and perform and be at your maximal effort on race day. Yeah, quite the journey.
What about life lessons? Now, every athlete can basically think in their mind how the sport is affecting their life. You know, you draw conclusions about life itself from the sport because life is a sport, as you know, and we're all athletes engaged in that process. So what intellectual lessons have you learned by competing as an Ironman triathlete?
I think the first lesson that comes to mind is it just teaches you that there's no substitute for hard work. You get out what you put in, and that's the same with everything in life. When you commit to a competition, like an Ironman triathlon, that's the first step where you commit to that, and then you say, wow, well, now I've really, you know, I've done this commitment, I gotta get on it, you know. So you teach yourself to have a goal, and then you teach process. You know, you have to go through the process of getting to that goal, and there's going to be challenges, there's going to be obstacles, there's likely going to be some sort of minor injuries or setbacks or, you know, family issues that come up. So it teaches you to have a bit more balance in life as well. Just teaches you to have a better balance in life, and there's no substitute for hard work, like I said, the first point. But it also teaches you that you're often more capable of doing more than what you actually think you can. So, for instance, any given day on a workout, you think, gee, I don't feel great today, but I'm just going to do my best. And then what comes out the other end is almost always a better result than you thought you might. So, it just really teaches you trying to find ways to get to that goal, and it's not always going to be as straightforward. You just got to keep on pushing forward and working hard. So that's some of the major life lessons that I've learned. Yeah, just get that goal and go for it with everything you can.
What about today and tomorrow? Can you talk about your training schedule? Like what time you get up and what you do and how you split it up, because you've got a swim and a run and a cycle. So obviously you're doing some of each, and talk about the distances and the times and give us a little bit of an insight as to how Adam's training these days for the next competition.
Yeah, for sure. It's always an exciting thing for me to talk about because I go to bed every night with my training log and a pencil and analyze what I've done that day and what's coming up and am I going to be ready for this or that. So with a race coming up in 2.5 weeks, it's all very race specific right now. You know, your pacing and your heart rate and your effort and everything is being tailored to that specific competition. So, for example, today I slept in until 6:20 and that was fine because I knew I wasn't going to start my bike ride until after 7 a.m. Today it was a 3-hour total bike ride. That was done inside on my bike trainer because the intensity was very high for a part of that bike ride. Did a 30-minute warm-up, and then I did 4 sets of 15 minutes, which were building efforts by 5 minutes, and they were in what's called the lactate threshold zone, so it's quite an uncomfortable sort of, you know, physically uncomfortable zone, so you really can't hold that effort for much more than 15 minutes. So I did 4 of those, 4 15-minute intervals with 5-minute rest between, and then after that, I took a 10-minute easy spinning, and then I put 1 hour straight at my goal race effort for race day. So for me, that was about 145 beats per minute heart rate. So I sat there for an hour and listened to some motivational music on my headset and just grinded away for an hour. So that was, it's training me for the reality of the race hard at the beginning, which I won't go that hard on race day at the beginning. That would set me up for a poor performance at the end of the day, but just training me to hit that high end speed and then settle into the race effort. Today in the afternoon, in about 3 or 4 hours from now, I will do a swim workout. It will be shorter intervals because I'll be pretty fatigued from this morning. My neuromuscular system won't be ready to really perform longer sets in the pool. Just keep it short and sweet. And then tomorrow morning, I'll get up at the crack of sunlight, which is getting later and later every day, unfortunately. So I'll be out the door at about 6 o'clock tomorrow morning to start quite a challenging run, which will be in total about 2 hours and 45 minutes, again, mimicking the race course quite specifically. So flat sections, then hilly sections, flat section, hilly sections. And then that'll be 24 hours of training right there. So 2 major sessions, bike and run, and then the swim is a moderate session. And then I'll follow up on Friday with a very substantial swim workout in the morning, and then I'll have a very easy day on Saturday. So it's a little bit of insight from the 4 days of training. But everything, yeah, has to be very specific to the race that's coming up, which is not an overly challenging course, but you need to prepare properly for what you're going to get into on race day.
Yeah, that's what I like about what you're doing. You're actually thinking about what you're doing. You're planning it out, and you are going into this thing with a mindset that you know that you've planned, so that gives you confidence. And I think there's a lot of value there as it relates to other avenues of life, for sure. Now, you talked about carbohydrate consumption in the past that you thought was refined, maybe not ideal. Obviously, you know, you've made some changes, at least you spoke to it. How significant is protein to your diet? Because there's one school of thought that says that long distance runners don't need a lot of protein, that it's really insignificant, that you can get the minimum standard and do quite well. And then, of course, there's the opposite school of thought that says, no, that's false. You lose lean mass, your bone and your cartilage tissue basin will erode. And so what are your thoughts on protein? How important is it to you?
I personally believe it's paramount for performance. If you're not rebuilding your muscles, then right after your workout and throughout the rest of the day, I just don't feel that that anybody can perform at their best. And for me, as an O blood type, I'm a classic endomorph as well. So if I go around eating carbohydrates all day in excess, I'm going to put on weight. And that's not ideal for me as an endurance athlete. Strength to weight ratio is very important as an endurance athlete. Some people, you know, the ectomorph group of people out there, they can be really lean looking on the outside because it's very easy for them to stay lean. But for me in particular, protein is, you know, it's the first thing that goes into my body in the morning. And then it's the last thing that goes into my body before I go to bed. So when I wake up in the morning, you know, it's either a nice piece of lean meat with a bit of Udo's oil and a bit of sweet potato. That's what I had this morning before my bike workout. If I'm going to go for a run, like tomorrow morning when I first wake up, it'll be bam. It'll be a little bit of whey protein and a little bit of Udo's oil and just a splash of water. And away I'm going to go on my run. So protein for me is very, very important. If I don't get enough protein at a meal, I can feel myself just craving more. So I think that especially right after the workout, the protein is very, very important. A lot of people will go and maybe have a big bowl of cereal or bagel or, you know, something very, very high carbohydrate. That's good. You do need some carbohydrates, but I think what your body really needs is a proper mix of protein, carbohydrates, and of course, healthy fats in there as well. So I think that for any athlete, especially someone who's prone to putting on weight, protein is their friend for maintaining a healthy immune system and also for maintaining muscle mass, which is very important. Muscle and power are very important to most sports. For the ultra-endurance things like the Tour de France, yeah, those guys look very, very lean, very, very skinny when they're doing that. But that's for a fraction of the year as well. That's just for, you know, a three-week window in the year where they need to be at that ultimate sort of lean state. But for me as a triathlete, I need to be strong. I need to swim. I need to run as well. So I need muscle mass. And I think that the best way to maintain that is to train smart and ensure you have adequate protein every day.
Now, people might say, okay, we get that you need the protein. Not me, though. I don't need that much protein, and certainly not all those protein shakes that you make. What is your response to that? Like, you're a sales rep. You're going into meeting with the retailers, you know, in Victoria on the island. You're meeting a lot of them. You're meeting customers. What is your take on the protein shake for the so-called average consumer? And what benefits can they derive from putting a shake together? And maybe you can tell us how you put a shake together and what some of the ingredients might be.
I'll answer the first part really quickly. I think that anybody can benefit from well-formulated protein shake because the amount of nutrition that you can get into a shake and make it taste great is appealing to most people. You know, for instance, my wife and my son, they love having a protein smoothie. They don't do, of course, the same amount of physical training as me. In fact, my wife would go days without doing anything. You know, she's active and she's healthy, but, you know, with her work, she might not do anything for days on end in terms of exercise. And she knows that's not the best thing for her, but she still has a shake all the time. It's convenient. You know, you get a high-quality protein, for instance. You know, a good whey protein isolate, the biological value, the actual amount of protein you're getting from that. She's always surprised how long a smoothie can keep her full when it's got the right amount of protein, good healthy fat in there, and then some great low-carbohydrate fruits. So I think that anybody can benefit from it simply because it's easy to digest. They can put a high amount of nutrients in there with adding some greens and just get a really, really nutritious meal that can taste good. So the second part of the question, when I first got on the call with you here, we were both just joking about how we're having a smoothie. So, you know, I just finished that 3-hour workout, and that was quite demanding. So often what I'll first have, even before I make the smoothies, I'll have some fresh juice, carrot and apple juice, or, you know, some more spinach in there, actually. But have something that I have in the fridge that I keep for about 48 hours in a sealed jar after I make it. And I'll have that with a little bit of protein, a little bit of greens, and a little bit of Udo's oil, some Purica mushrooms, and some Purica recovery. And I down that, just almost like a shot of that, just to kind of give my body a little jump start. And then the smoothie that I made today, the fruit base was a high glycemic carbohydrate form of mango, ripe banana, and some raw honey. And then I had strawberries and blueberries in there. Total carbohydrate content was about equal to my body weight in kilograms, which is about 78 right now. So I had right around 75, 80 grams of carbohydrate total in there. And then the protein I was liberal with, I had about 35 grams of protein in the smoothie here. And like I said, I had a bit in that little shot that I had before, which is about 10. So that's about 45 grams of protein in the sort of hour post-workout. Also had some Udo's oil in the smoothie. And then the supplements that I use, you know, being a CSNA graduate, I really have latched on to trying, and I have tried very extensively some of the different supplements, the big four. You know, I've got hydroxymethylbutyrate in there, HMB, that is. I've got glutamine in there. I've got about 1.5 grams of creatine. And like I said, the whey protein, got some NRX greens, which is a great mix, high in spirulina, some other sprouted grass juice powders, and what else do I have in there? And then I've got some more recovery, Purica recovery in there, and then a good whack of medicinal mushrooms. They're one of my favorite supplements. I've got cordyceps, chaga in there, about 2.5 grams total of mushrooms, which is quite a bit. And then while I sip that, I do take down a multivitamin and a few other things, Probascan, which is a cardiovascular support product, including some coenzyme Q10 from Purica. And got some bamboo silica in the smoothie as well for my ligaments. People might be listening saying, wow, that's a whole lot of stuff in there. But like I said, I just finished a 3-hour workout, and something we learned in the CSNA course that I really, really fully believe and have experienced and felt it is that post-exercise, your body is so receptive to those nutrients, and it's just craving them, it's just demanding them, and it's just ready to just suck them up and just spread them out throughout your body and distribute it to where it needs to be distributed to. And if you get your post-workout smoothie and supplement regime dialed in perfectly for your body, yeah, you'll reap the benefits, and you don't get the same cravings later in the day for other carbohydrates if you use the good quality ones in your post-workout shake. So Oh, that was a bit of a long answer. Does that answer the question, Dr. Holly?
Hey, a fantastic answer. You really put together a lot of the other questions I was going to ask. You talked about Purica products and the quality. Okay, so let's talk about Purica a little bit. You talked about some of the products, but you're a sales rep and you're out there visiting and more or less you're a sales representative. And so you're moving products from Purica in Duncan, that's the headquarters, and they're being distributed nationally in Canada, and your territory is the whole island. And also, what goes on when you walk into a store? Do you make appointments? Do you just do cold calls? How do you do your work as a sales rep? And what kind of a work standard is that? Is it something you'd advocate to someone who's a CSNA student now and maybe thinking about going into the health food industry, maybe retail, wholesale? Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, gee, that's, as you were just mentioning those points you wanted me to cover there, I thought of all kinds of neat stuff, so good answer. So hopefully I can remember them all. So I do the Victoria region. I'm lucky to work for Purica. They're a well-established company, so, you know, I go in the stores. A lot of the time it's cold calls. If it's an important meeting, then yes, I'd like to call ahead, or if I'm going to do a demo in the store, of course I'll have that booked in advance. But when I go into the stores, like I said, I'm lucky. Purica is well-respected. The company is loved by pretty much everybody in the health food industry, in the supplement industry. So I go in, I talk to the staff, you know, I let them know what's new and just talk with them. And I found that that's one of the best ways to build the rapport and help the Purica brand is just to go in and make sure that they're comfortable with all of our products and just talk to them about what's going on in the store and, you know, well, those other products and kind of, you know, joking around, comparing them and different things, but just build that rapport and just make friends with them all. And I have, again, the luxury to work for a company that has products that work and are high quality. So, and then another question you mentioned there was, is it a job for CSNA graduates or other people that are interested? Is it a good job to have? Yes, I think it's a great job if it's your passion, if you're really passionate about nutrition and supplements, because it's one of those things that I don't think you can fake it. You can't pretend to know everything about something if you're not really interested in it. So I'm really interested in supplements and just living a natural, healthy life. So it's fun for me. I look forward to going into the stores and I look forward to my job and the events that we put on, which are great as well, because the events have just, you know, tons of like-minded people that all come together and it's just a really positive energy. So yes, I think it's a great position for anybody that wants to improve other people's health and just improve the health of our country and our our children and, you know, make a positive influence out there against some of the bigger powers that might have a bit more influence right now. So yeah, it's a great job. I love it.
Now, you just finished the CSNA education program. I think you did it in about 4 or 5 months. Now, you're working full time, you're raising a family, your training demands are ginormous, much, much more than, say, so-called average people, even people that work in the retail or health food industry. So in spite of that, you completed the program, you didn't let it, as in life, get in the way. And I want to know what the secret was for our students out there who are struggling, or we might say making the time, because a lot of people get started, they lose enthusiasm, life draws them away, they go through hard times, maybe a divorce or a loss of life or loss of job or something, and then they get distracted and pulled away, and you didn't seem to get distracted. So what are some of the merits of your approach to studying and getting through it and completing?
Yeah, well, you know what, I think, Dr. Holly, I think through the way you've designed the course made it really practical for someone in my position to do it. You know, I've always been one of those people who's kind of, you know, I don't like having a cell phone, I'd rather not, but you have to nowadays, and especially in my position. But it became a really amazing tool for me because I had the modules right on my phone. You know, I go to the chiropractor. My chiropractor, like most, is late almost every time. I might wait 15, 20 minutes. I make a point to get there 10, 15 minutes early and say, okay, now I've got 20, 30 minutes right now. I'm just going to sit outside the office and read. Go in, oh, you got 10 more minutes, Adam. Okay, I sat down and read it. You know, just get through the modules that way. Driving around, you know, I bought a cord to plug my phone into my car, and I listened to the audio files and special guest interviews that were part of the course. Just downloaded them all into my phone, and then, you know, it was right there. We spend a lot of time in our car, you know, most people do, you know, whether it's going to work. In my position, of course, as a rep, I do a little bit of driving. I'm around Victoria, but you could even just go for a walk in the evening or whatever and just put your headphones on, plug it into your phone and listen to that 30-minute interview. So for me, it was a matter of just maximizing every free moment I had. You know, I was kind of surprised at how I was able to do it without sort of interfering with my family life, you know, sitting down at 6 o'clock after dinner or something and saying, okay, I got to do this right now. That never really happened. You know, sometimes I'd say to my wife, yeah, can I have 2 hours right now to just finish this last module? Sure. You know, it's about communicating with her and then just maximizing every other time I had. There were some days where I'd get up earlier than I'd like to. You know, I have to make some sacrifices. And in the summertime, I wake up with the sun, and the sun was coming up at 5 a.m. I'd wake up at 5 a.m., and I might not have had quite enough sleep, but I had the option to either get up and have an hour of studying right then and there, or go back to sleep for an hour, and I almost always chose getting up to do that studying first thing in the morning. Sometimes I would go back to sleep if I had a really big day of training or if I just finished one, but it was just, yeah, weighing up the situation and how to best use the time that was right in front of me was every day what I did.
Excellent response, and that's going to be very helpful to our students that are listening. And even, I like the idea about the chiropractic delay time. You know, there's all kinds of delays. It could be in a bank lineup. It could be at the ferry. You took advantage, and that's very practical, and that's invaluable. Adam, we're running out of time, so let's get to your website. What is your website address, and what are we going to find there when we get to that address?
So, yeah, my website is www.adamomera.com. That's AdamOmera.com. You're going to find a slightly, not outdated website, but something that's in need of a bit of an overhaul, which it's actually currently getting, purchasing some race images and different things. You're going to find what's slowly becoming a resource for people who want to learn more about triathlon, nutrition, and overall health. In the near future, it's actually going to have a lot more information on how to contact me for services for nutrition consulting, especially sports nutrition consulting. I like to work with active people that are dedicated and motivated to improve their health and help their family get healthier as well. So you'll find some updates on my races there, blog posts on nutrition and sport, and that's about it. Thanks for asking.
You betcha. Well, that was a great interview. It really was, Adam. I just love your enthusiasm. You're very practical. You're very genuine and authentic. And I like to think of myself as being like that, too. I think that's why we connect. And others like us, too. We meet people in the health food fitness industry that are really giving it. And in a world of apathy, where people lack enthusiasm when it comes to physical work and do everything they can to avoid it, you and I are looking for ways to make our training more difficult and therefore more enjoyable. So with that in mind, I'd like to ask you for maybe a final parting comment to conclude our interview, something that will inspire our listeners for the future.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. And again, I just want to firstly just quickly say thanks very much for having me. I feel very honored to be on the Sports Nutrition Update with, you know, Olympic athletes, people like Sam Gracie, Brad King, Ian King, other very well-respected people. And one thing that I would say to people is to just follow your passion. I'm lucky to have a family where my wife is following her passion and I'm able to follow my passion as well. Just don't listen to the naysayers. Just follow your passion and just go for it. Wake up every day and just go for it. Some days are going to be better than others, but just keep your eye on the prize and, yeah, no pain, no gain. It's all good. Have fun doing it.
Adam Omera is an elite level triathlete. He's a certified sports nutrition advisor. He works in the natural health product industry as a territory rep for Apurica. Adam is absolutely committed to living the good life. You know, he's thinking about health and wellness long term, not just performance as an athlete, but the health of his mind, his body. And I especially admire his dedication to his family and his son. So, Adam, we thank you very much for your contribution, and we wish you the very best in your upcoming race.
Thank you very much for having me on, Dr. Holly. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Holly Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHolly.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
representing lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with sports nutrition update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see ya changing heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.